Good morning. Welcome as we come to worship this morning, whether you join us here in person or you join us online. We bid you a warm welcome. We've come to draw around the Lord's table, to remember his life, his death, and his resurrection today. The power that brings into our lives and into the life that we live in the community around us. Let's pray as we begin. This is indeed how God showed his love amongst us. Well, he sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him, because he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so we might die to sin and live for righteousness. That is why it is by his wounds that we have been healed. So, Lord, as we gather in this place, as we draw around your table, as we hear your word read and proclaimed, as we lay our hearts bare before you in intercessions, as we sing songs of praise and worship, as we give our lives to you in this place, and in this moment, may we set aside the distractions that hold us back from you. Open our hearts and our minds to receive from you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I invite Heather to come forward and read us God's word today?
So the reading today is taken from Genesis chapter 1 and it's verses 24 to 31. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and in the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made. And it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
Thank you, Heather. So we continue this series. He's got the whole world in his hands. A journey through creation, covenant, and redemption, those big moments that are told through the narrative of the scriptures, those moments that God has created us, made in his image, that moment where last week we heard, in the beginning. God has always been. And the created world that we live in was ushered into being because he spoke. So his sovereignty and his power last week. So the rhythm of creation that was purposeful and intentional. Nothing was left out, not even those moments of rest were left out. We saw we needed to trust in God's sovereignty in our everyday lives, worshipping the creator and the sustainer of absolutely everything. And so today then we come to made in his image, that moment where he created humans, humankind. Let's pray together as we come to look at this. Father God, we thank you that you have created the world around us, that you made us. And today as we explore the fact that you made us in your image, Open our hearts and our minds to hear your truths again like never before. In Jesus' name, amen. The core theme, if you like, for today is the fact that God created us. We're unique, but he created us as image bearers and stewards of who he is and what he has created. He's given us a different purpose, and we'll see that as we go through today. But I also see that he's created us to be in a relationship with him, that is at the core and the foundation of this creation narrative, that we have been created with a different purpose and a different dominion, and we'll look at that, but we are created in relationship with him and with one another and with the created world around us. And so that relationship spills out, not just from ourselves, but to other people, to God, and to the world around us. We are made in his image. Heller read today in Genesis chapter 1, and God said, let the land produce every living creature according to the kinds of the livestock, with the creatures that move along the ground and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. He created all of those living beings. And then he said in verse 26, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that we rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. What's really important to note in that verse as well is that it's plural. We are created, God said, let's create them in our image. Because we worship the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are created in their, his image, the triune God. Even then, that moment of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at the birth of creation was there. And so then we generically say we are created in his image because he is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are created to be his image. Verse 26 says, let us make mankind in our image. We are image bearers. Have you ever looked at a child and said, doesn't he look just like his mummy? Or doesn't he look just like his daddy? Hands up if you've ever done that. We've probably all done that at some stage, haven't we? We see the images of that lineage carried within us. And the strange thing is that the only time I ever hear anybody say that he looks just like himself is when the coffin is open and people are viewing it. Then he just looked like himself. But you're created in the image of God. You're the image bearer of something outside of yourself. Something that is more than just the lineage that you have come from in this earthly realm. You are the image bearer, not just of your mum or your dad or your granny or your granda or your great-granda. You are the image of God. Now it blows my mind. I don't know about you, but as I look around, even this morning, and I see so many different images looking back at me, that we are all created in the image of God, that we bear something of God within us. We find that actually in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Let me just find that and read it to us. Chapter 3, verse 11. He's made everything beautiful in its time, and he's also set eternity in the human heart. But no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. God has set eternity in the human heart. That's his image, his eternal image set within us. And we carry eternity within us to be shown around us. Now that verse in Ecclesiastes comes after probably a fairly well-known passage if you've been about church At any stage in your life, you may well have heard it read before. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and so forth and so forth and so forth. That rhythm of a time to and equal opposites. But note the rhythm of that passage fits with the rhythm of creation. There was morning and evening, the sixth day. Whenever God often has something to say to us that is profound and important, there is a rhythm to how he says it. And so whenever he says that he has set eternity in your heart, he means it. That there is a part of you that carries his image, and he is preparing you for eternity. But he's also given, as we've seen, a divine mandate to us. He created the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the livestock that walk or run across the land. But he gave us dominion over them. Some would say the top of the food chain, if you like. Everything else sits lower than us in the created order. Because the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the livestock of the land do not carry his image, but we do. Therefore, we have dominion over them because there is something different about us as humankind, as men and women. So, it says in verse 27, so God created human or mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. The companionship of how he has created us, male and female. How he has told us to go and be fruitful, to procreate, to ensure that the world is cared for. To have dominion over everything else, that we are set a little bit higher because we carry his image and we reflect his glory to the world around us and to the people that we meet. And that companionship of male and female, of masculine and feminine, we are to complement each other. We are to work together. And verse 27 is clear. In the image of God, he created them male and female. And one of the greatest lies that Satan has told is that you can be like God. That was what he whispered. We'll hear that next week. He whispered it in the Garden of Eden. Did God really say? Sure, you could be just like him then. If we were just like him, it would mean that we could create whatever we wanted. That we could be whatever we wanted. And the cultural war of our time is gender. The cultural war of our time is that moment where creation narrative and God's creative power is being attacked, where you can be whatever you want to be, whenever you want to be, and you can just think it and feel it and change your mind instantly, and you are. The cultural war of our time is gender, but the word gender is actually made up. It's only come into your vocabulary in the last decade to 15 years. God has said that we are male and female, that our sex is defined at birth. Yet our culture has told us that we can create ourselves to be who we want to be, and in our culture at the moment, what we want to be. That God created all the different kinds, the fish, the birds, the animals, and humankind. But now our culture is telling us that we can shift and become a different kind. And so as we reflect the Father's glory, as we reflect the Creator's glory in the world around us, we bear a different image to the world around us. We bear the image of God himself. We reflect that into our culture, into our community, and into this gender ideology that means that we can say, no, we believe this because God has created. These lies, in one sense, from a biblical perspective, are of the devil. I don't say that lightly. They strike at the heart of this creation story. It's a stripping away, it's a tearing down of the creative sovereignty of God himself and placing ourselves in the position of God. But listen to not my words, but listen to the words of Jesus in John chapter 4 and verse 44. When he is bringing rebuke to those who do not believe. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks in his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Jesus himself says that Satan is the father of lies. The one who came and created that little moment in the garden of doubt. And often you hear it described that wisdom is that moment of being able to know right from wrong. I'm not quite sure that's the best definition of wisdom. That's kind of knowledge. We know what's right and what's wrong. Wisdom's better defined, in this is my thinking in a sense, in the sense that wisdom is the difference between right and nearly right. The devil came in the garden and he said, did God really say that? He didn't say God didn't say it. And so wisdom is knowing the difference between what is right and what is nearly right, because often we are confronted with a complete mixture of truth, even in a small element, to make us believe that it's true. That's what the father of lies does. So feel it and you can be it. No. Because God has set boundaries for us. Boundaries within us and for us to live within. And we know that boundaries are good. We don't always enjoy boundaries. Rules. Hands up if you absolutely love rules. Not really anybody absolutely loves rules. Sure they don't. But rules are good. Can you imagine a life without rules of any description? Like that roundabout in the Belsize Road would be, that really is a nightmare. Do you know, the cuts, what would that be like without it? No, it's getting better. But we live with rules. We live with boundaries every single day, whether we enjoy them or not, because it benefits us. That's what we instill to toddlers and to children, rules, boundaries, for their safety. And so God gives us boundaries and rules for our safety, because he loves us and he trusts us to live within them and to walk wisely with his image. Boundaries are key. As I already said, we have been set with dominion over everything else. Over everything. In fact, God said and created it all. He created male and female. He created humankind. And he said, go and enjoy it. But just don't eat from this tree. I'm not going to dwell on that because that's the fall and we'll come to that next week. But as we live as image bearers in our daily lives, whether that's at work, at school, in our family, in our culture, we live to reflect God's design. What does that look like? It's for you to be the best that you can possibly be. In another part of the scriptures, in John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, the thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. He's talking about the devil. Comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. I have come to give you life, and life in all of its fullness. We've come to reflect his glory, to point to his story. I'm sure if I asked you in this moment to consider, to think about, to call to mind a name or an image of someone who you knew, who without speaking, they are showing the image of their heavenly Father to the world around them. You could probably recall someone to your mind. We call them godly or saintly. We call them someone who is a follower of Jesus. That's the reflection that we are to give to the world around us. And often sometimes we think, well, they've had years perfecting that. I'm never quite sure I could get there. It starts now, because in 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 60 years, 100 years' time, as you look back, today could be the defining moment where you've said, I want to reflect the image of a creative God into a cultural world that wants to tear it apart. I want to carry his glory and share his story in order that other people can know how good he is and what he has done for me. Today's the day where we can reflect even more than we've ever done before. Let's pray together. So Lord, as we reflect your glory and your story, help us to know you more. As we know you more, help us to make you more known in the world around us. And for those moments where we want to reflect your glory and where we feel that we are uncertain of the words to say or how to interact in a conversation or in a debate or in whatever that moment is, give us wisdom to know the difference between right and nearly right, the difference to know how to share and to show you, how to reflect you, how to carry your image of hope, of love, of grace, of wisdom into those situations. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's just close up today with some words from John, 1 John chapter 4, and verse 4. You, dear children, are from God, and you've overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world, and therefore speak from their viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. But we're from God. Whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. May we go from this place today carrying God's image and his glory into the world around us. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.